I'll start by telling you that when I went to college a long time ago, I had massive problems sleeping. No problems growing up in school, A-level, no problem. But when I went to college, I had massive problems sleeping. Do you know why? A ticking clock. And you think, well, why should that be a problem before digitalization, of course? Because I'd never had a clock. I'd never had an alarm. Why? Because in those days, mums called their children up. Didn't shake me, but always called me. Never anything else. I remember my mother calling me, and I woke up every morning of my life. I heard my mother's calling me. So when I went to college, of course, a clock to wake me up was just anathema. I just could not sleep. I wanted to deal this evening very briefly and incompletely, I am aware of that, but amazingly enough, in the same theme as we've been dealing with, and I haven't talked with a preacher last week, and I certainly haven't talked to Tim, but it is amazing that I felt constrained to speak about God calling sinners, and God calling us to work for him. The call of God, God speaking to us. We had Behold the Lamb of God, the gospel there last week, and this morning, Come and See, invitation of the gospel, and Christ calling four disciples. They were called. And I don't know why, but that's been on my heart for some time. And I was going to look for something else to preach, and I came back to it time and time again. And even though I haven't got it clear in my mind yet, and forgive me if it's somewhat disjointed, but I want to deal with that call. A call to repentance and faith. A call to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very, very significant. And yet it's not as straightforward. The word of God is not as straightforward as that. Because we have to say to start that the call initially is a general call. An external call. So when someone is preaching the word of God, or someone is speaking to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, and calling them and speaking to them and challenging them to believe in Jesus Christ, that's a general call. It's for all people. You think, well, there's the call of God going out. Does everybody believe? Does everybody come to faith? Does everyone respond in believing Jesus Christ? Well, we know the answer is no. Mm-hmm. No, they don't. They refuse the word of God and they don't hear of it. So in one sense, you have to say, that's the general call. When the gospel goes out and it's gone out to many, many people, and I hope you've spoken the gospel to some people, I think, well, why haven't they believed? That's the general call. Do they believe? Do they respond in faith and obedience? No, they don't. And the word of God is, and it's only in Matthew's gospel, which I surprised that I thought it was in the other gospels as well. And in two parables, Jesus is giving two parables. One, if you remember, the man who was hiring laborers, and he got some straight away, and then he got some at the end of the day. And the ones at the end of the day got as much as the ones who started, and they started to complain in. And then Jesus says this to them. So the last, this is Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's quite sobering. Many are called, many hear the gospel, the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but few are chosen. And in chapter 22 and verse 14, after another parable, the parable of the man who went to the wedding and he didn't have on a wedding garment, so he was excluded, he was banned, he was shunned, he was taken away because he didn't have on a wedding garment. And Matthew 22 verse 14 says, "Woe unto you scribes," sorry, the wrong one, verse 22 there. When they heard this, they marveled and let away. I'll get in a minute. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. For many are called, he says, but few are chosen. Again, exactly the same words. Many are called, but few are chosen. So, in spite of the fact that the gospel does prevail in so many lives, and in the world today there are thousands, if not millions, turning to Christ and being born again of the Spirit of God, we have to say that many refuse the word of God. Many close their ears to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many are called, but few are chosen. The writer of the Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 24, says, wisdom calls in the street, he speaks the word of God, yet they refuse. They refuse. So you have to say that every time the gospel is preached, there's always two ways of looking at it. You either receive it and believe it and act upon it, or you reject it and you close your mind and your ears to it. Why is that? What's the problem then? What's the problem? Well, there are lots of things to say about that, but I want to say a few things. And Peter gives a few clues in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, where we read this in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, where he's speaking and he's declaring that God calls people. I'll find him in it. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. And we read there 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Sorry, verse 10. And he says this. Yeah, that's what's getting old. You don't find it so quickly, do you? He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure of your calling and election. He's putting those two words together. So that may be a clue as to why it seems that the gospel is not received by everyone when it is preached, and embrace it and love Jesus and follow him and obey him and keep his commandments. Make sure, says Peter, that your calling and your election are absolutely sure. You need time and again to ask yourself, has God spoken to me? Am I living in obedience to the word of God? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Make your calling and election sure. Many of you travel and you go abroad, and I thought it was just me, but I look around at people and they've got their passports in their bag or in their pockets, in their back pockets, and they check it, and then they go on 5 minutes later and they check it again. And time and again, they check whether they've got the right documentation, the passport, or their boarding passes, or their wallet. Time and time again, they check. And it's a bit like that, Peter is saying, make sure. Make sure of your calling and your election. So obviously, there are two things at work here. We call upon God, but he's calling us. And two things are working that way. And Paul in Romans chapter 8, where he's got this glorious chapter in Romans chapter 8, a wonderful chapter of God's word. And he's got this, what we call a golden chain in verse 29, where we read this. For whom he did foreknow, that's God, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate before the world began, he set his love upon his people. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called in time. those he called, them he justified. He made right with God. And whom he justified, them he glorified. A glorious champion in the middle of it. God called us. But it started way before time, in eternity. God dealt with us, even set his love upon us, even before the world began. So you see, there's an external call. It goes out in the gospel. Not everyone believes. And yet there's an internal call. And that's an effectual call, one that cannot fail. When God speaks to you as an individual, and you receive the word of God, and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what happens? You know that you've been called by God. God has spoken to you. God has dealt with you. God has opened your eyes. God has caused you to know and to believe the gospel. And that's an internal call, an effectual call from God. It's like the summons, the Queen. He summons us, she summons us to be at Buckingham Palace. Would we dare refuse? Well, it's like that. When the call of God comes to us, we receive it in repentance and faith, and we believe it and we act upon it. How does it come then? How did it come, this gospel? How is it made known to us? Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he deals with the call of the gospel. He says this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14. He says this, "Wherefore he called you," he says to the Thessalonians, "God called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." How do you become Christians? God called you. God spoke. God acted. God dealt with you. That was the effectual call which brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's this call then? What is it? Those of you can say, "I know in whom I have believed. I know Jesus Christ as my own Saviour." What happened in your life? A few things happened, and I'm very quickly here. A few things happened. You knew something about the facts of the gospel. You knew something about Jesus Christ. You knew that all people without God are sinners and bound for death and hell. And without Jesus Christ breaking into your life, you knew that you were lost and bound for hell. So you knew something about the gospel. You knew some facts. Is that enough? Is that sufficient? How much do you know of the gospel? Are you inside? Are you with Christ or not? The facts are okay, but not sufficient. There has to be an approval, an agreeing with those facts. Yes, I know them to be true. Yes, I know that's right. Yes, the gospel is true and those facts are true, and agreeing. Is that sufficient? Is that enough? You've got the facts. You agree with the facts. There must be something else. You must know and approve and have personal trust in Christ for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. As a personal thing, as an individual thing. Between you and God tonight. It's a transaction between God and you, knowing that you believe this gospel. Does it describe you? Does it describe your life? Is it true of you? The writer of the Hebrews says, there's a heavenly calling. God comes from heaven. He calls us. Effectual call. And each one of us who become Christians know a time, maybe a moment, maybe a day, maybe over a period, when we heard the call of God and we agreed and we responded in repentance and faith. That's an effectual call. And the strange thing is, you see, and I find that the word of God so strange here. That's all of God. And yet, we've got verses like this in Acts. Remember Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were converted? And he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, quoting the prophet Joel. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's amazing. I've just told you it's God speaking to us, God making his will known to us, showing us our sins, showing us our need of him. And yet, if we call on him, we'll be saved. That's the wonder of the gospel, isn't it? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we just had reading from Isaiah 55 that we've just had there. And that's exactly the same. Call upon him and he'll forgive you and deal in mercy with you. Such is the loving kindness of God. I have to say, and I think one of our members prayed in a recent prayer meeting, and they said he felt that perhaps people in this country were beginning to call upon God. What do you mean by that? He means that perhaps there's a disillusionment with life as it is, with all he's got to offer. There's no satisfaction, there's no peace, there's an emptiness. And we know that in revival, people call upon God. And God is faithful to hear the prayers and the cries of his people and enables them to respond in repentance and faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some proofs, there are a lot of proofs. Have you known an effective call of the gospel in your life? The word of God gives stacks of proofs. I'm just going to pick up one or two of those. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, you are called to be saints. You're called to be saints. That's the first thing. We're all called to be disciples, to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true of every Christian. We are called to be saints. Now that doesn't mean to say that we are perfect and always obedient, always submissive, always kind, always generous. Not at all. But it does mean to say there's a mark about us that sets us apart in the world from the rest of the world. And you know people you've known like that. Saintly, godly lives. God has dealt with them and spoken to them. And yet, we are saints. We are saints. God's called us to be saints. We are special to God. We are precious to God. Every one of us. We are saints. We've been adopted into the family of God. We deserve nothing, but yet in his mercy, he's called us and brought us to himself. A friend of ours, he went out to Bolivia to an orphanage, and a big orphanage there, and he selected two little girls, Maria and Luciana. He said, I want those to be my children. And I think he was the first person certainly in Wales, I think even in the UK, to adopt people from Bolivia. These two little girls now have grown up, become Christians, useful in God's service, training, loving God and serving God. So they were taken from no hope, no parents, no family, taken and adopted into his family and brought up as his own children. That's what God has done with us. We're special. We are his saints. We are those who serve and love him. The call is sure as well. What do I mean by that? When Peter says we've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear Son, you couldn't get a greater contrast. translated from darkness to light. I know we have our doubts and our fears and our anxieties and our lack of assurance, but surely this is saying that, like that blind man that Jesus was dealing with, I don't know who did it, I don't know anything about him, but one thing I do know, one thing I was blind, now I see. That's sure, isn't it? It's a sure testimony. You know in whom you have believed, translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom, into the light of his dear Son. The proof is sure. Also, we are called to be separate, to be holy. We are called to be separate. We are called to be holy. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, he says this: "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." God hasn't called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We're not perfectly holy, but there is an element of us that shuns sin and turns away from wicked things. Not always, and that's the sad reality. I think the ermine is a white, furry animal, and the way they catch the ermine is this: they surround the animals with trash and dirt and rubbish. And the ermine is so fearful of getting dirty that they're so easy to catch, and they're so easy as prey. There's an element, and it should be true of every child of God, that we are called to holiness, to godliness, and we do shun evil, and we cringe, and we shy away from the things which are polluting and corrupt and vile, which is in the world. That's a proof that you've been effectively called by God. Not all the time, but most of your life, the way of your life, is avoiding sin, avoiding the corruption and the attractions of this world, and living for Jesus Christ. We're not called to uncleanness. We are called to holiness. And finally, I say this, and surprisingly perhaps to finish, we are called to suffer. We are called to suffer. Peter was writing when there was massive persecution in the church. Incredible persecution. And he's just writing to encourage God's people to stand in the evil day. And listen to what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He says this: "For even hereto were ye called," this is the calling of the Christian, "because Christ also suffered for us, leave us example that we should follow his steps." Called to what? What glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? If you do something wrong and you take it patiently, so what? There's nothing special in that. But if when you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. How are you living your life when things go wrong? When even the things, the good things you seem to do, and people throw them back at you, how do you respond then? Well, you accept it, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Could anyone live a more perfect, obedient life to his Father? No, in total perfection. And yet they threw everything back at him. We are called. Yes, we are called to suffer. And then he says this in chapter 3 and verse 9: "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereby called that ye should inherit a blessing." There's our calling again. What? Not responding. Evil comes to us, to respond, I get my own back in evil. Railing for railing, people rail at us, we rail back at them. No, we don't. We do, but we ought not. Our calling is to suffer, to accept those things in the will and the purposes of God, who does not make any mistakes. By God's grace, then, I trust that everyone be when we communion comes round, we examine our own hearts and we say, have I known of assurance the call of God, my own life and experience, and how I responded in repentance and faith? Am I looking to Jesus Christ as my only hope, my only salvation, my only way of peace and pardon and forgiveness and hope and eternity? If you can, then take it gladly. Rejoice in it. Be thankful that God in his boundless care and mercy has dealt with you and brought you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious Saviour. What a wonderful salvation. Come and see, as we heard this morning, come and see. Take part of it. It's for you. It's for all who will receive it. May God help us by his grace so to do, for his name's sake. Amen.